Your favourite film is awful.
Hello, and welcome to Your Favourite Film is Awful, the show where we take your favourite films and defend them against negative reviews. As always, I'm Luke, and with me through this Zoom chat is, of course, my bestest buddy in the whole wide world. It's Charlie. How you doing, Charlie?
I'm good, man, especially off that intro. That was lovely.
Well, Thank you. You're my bestest buddy. I love you so much.
My man.
This 2020. I mean, I only love you because we're, like, so far away, and we're both in Tier 4, so we can't do anything. But, hey, the emotion's there. It's always good to have a friend.
I like to feel that, you know, especially because, you know, this is the only communication we have with each other now, you know, through a bloody computer. So,
yay, Tier 4.
But yeah, but you're all good on your
time
side?
Time of recording. Yeah, all good. Everything's, well, tickety-boo. I think where I'm, so at time of recording, the place that I'm living isn't in Tier 4, it's in Tier 3, but that's when, like, everywhere went up, so... Who knows when that's going to happen again, depending when this comes out. We could all be in Tier 5, another national lockdown. Yeah, how about yourself? How are things your end?
Yeah, well, good, actually. I've mostly, I'm not going to lie to you, because of, you know, boredom being locked down and all, I booted up the PS2, and I've been playing Disney Skate Adventure, which, you know, if there's anyone out there who played Disney Skate Adventure... You know, shout out to me because you're a cool dude, you know, because it is the bollocks. This game is fantastic. I can't get enough of it. I forgot. It's basically Tony Hawk Pro Skater, sort of just with a Disney skin. But but like the nostalgia for me is the soundtrack's fantastic. And I've been playing way too much of it than I should be as a adult.
Love that. Everyone's like grasping and like climbing over each other and clawing people's throats out for a PS5, and you're like, nah, I'm gonna boot up my PS2.
exactly.
Fuck better graphics.
Don't need it, man. It's all about the gameplay anyway, you know. But yeah, no. Let's play a bit of Disney Skate Adventure. Watched a couple of movies. Only stuff I've seen before recently. I've been a bit bad, actually. I don't know, around this period, I don't watch as much.
Charlie, you need to, because like in a couple of weeks, we need to record our... Are we going to do top 10 and your fear awards, or just your fear awards? See, this is... Depending on which one we do, you need to watch a lot more films that came out last year.
Yeah, it's been a strange year. I've got like 13, I think, films to see. Probably even more for this year.
Probably
the ones I've got like... 12 I really want to see, and then there's like 13, you know, that I need to see that I've not heard. There's like a couple I haven't heard of that are supposed to be good, so I've got that on my list. I just need to get through them, really.
I think that's the same at the end of every year. Like, at the end of every year, it's like, oh shit, I was meant to watch X, Y, and Z. I know in 2019, after we did the Ophir Awards and after we did our top 10, I went back and watched a few more 2019 films and was like, oh, this could have easily been in my top 10.
Same, I had the exact same thing. But because also, like, films over here come out, like, a little bit later compared to the Oscars movies. You know what I mean? They come out usually, like, January up until March over here, where in America they might already have it, a few films. Like a Wonder Woman, for example. I'm pretty sure Wonder Woman is not out over here. But it is out in America right now.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I know it was planned to release like mid-December.
Yeah.
But I wasn't keeping track. And I just threw up on Instagram, is it good or not? And a lot of people weren't saying it was good. So maybe I won't watch it. But then they're coming back for Wonder Woman 3. So maybe it is good.
Well,
who knows?
Too. Yeah.
But this is future talk, Charlie. We need to focus on the present, on the now, on what we're doing, how we're living our lives. And so, as with last week, of course, we're doing fan-submitted film picks. And this one is a true fan of the show. And it's you. What film did you submit?
the biggest fan, the only fan of the show, me.
I'm not a fan of this show. I'm just honest.
he's just here to like make me not look crazy, really. That's what Luke's here, which I don't know how much it's helping. That's for you guys to decide. The film I come with is a little film that come out over Christmas, actually. On Christmas Day. It's a little Christmas movie. 2020 film as well. And that is Pixar's Soul.
I got soul, but I'm not a soldier.
Lovely.
I don't remember, but I feel like that was a controversial thing at the time, and I don't remember why or if it was.
I don't know,
was this
but
a thing? If you're watching this on YouTube,
but Luke, you're in trouble, mate. You've done something wrong.
Potentially, if you're watching this on YouTube, put it in the comments. And if you're listening to it on the podcast, hey, we're on YouTube now. You can see our lovely faces. But also, you know, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Just give me a quick message and be like, hey, Luke, that was controversial for this reason. Or, no, Luke, that's just a great song. It's got to be one or the other, surely.
I mean, yeah.
So, as there isn't a guest, it falls again to you. What's Soul about?
Soul is about an aspiring sort of jazz player. Well, he plays jazz, mm-hmm. but he teaches jazz. But he wants to be, you know, one of the big names. He's cracking on now. You know, he's been playing jazz for a while, teaching jazz for a while. It's not really where he wants to be in life. And finally, he gets his shot at being, you know, getting to play jazz. But unfortunately, he dies, didn't he? Let's be real.
He kicks the bucket
and he gets taken to basically this place where people find their soul, where they go to the greater beyond. And where, you know, more people are created, basically, essentially. So where the soul will start and then go to Earth. And he basically needs to try and find his way back to Earth to get back into his body. Whilst also trying to help a soul who's a bit lost. It's a bit of a lost soul. And he's... oh, fucking hell.
I love this.
You love seeing me trying...
You knew that I was going to ask you this.
Yeah, you did.
Because I did the exact...
You did. You're right. I did it last week.
I can fully just tell that you've just gone, oh, shit. I forgot that he was going to ask me that.
Well, the reason for that is because, you know, so I'm just thinking, you know, if I wing it, then, you know, usually it comes to me, but it's just not happening. I don't know if it's the face recordings putting me off a little bit. I don't know if it's that. Getting used to it. But, not the best start my premises recently. But I did get the story in, I feel like that is it, essentially. Yeah. Right? That is the premise. Yeah. He tries to find his soul, helps another lost soul, you know, become a real person, a real boy.
Like become Pinocchio. A real boy, it's Pinocchio.
Yeah.
Well, I have a review. I have a 1-star review from Dylan. Would you like to hear it?
No. Go for it. Go for it. I'm going to be surprised because spoilers, I quite like this movie quite a lot, so I'm quite surprised to see that there's negative reviews, and I'm ready for it. Let's go.
There were plenty, but I could only pick a few for this short time span.
Okay.
1-star review from Dylan Close. Nothing to do with shoes.
That's funny.
It's a funny one.
Yep.
You know me, always got to get the funny one in first.
Start with that cheeky little dad joke.
Exactly. Lighten the mood. Good way to... Keep it pleasant.
Exactly. What was that letterboxd that was?
It was indeed. Nice. Love a bit of letterboxd. Okay, so this is our first proper review. It's a 1 out of 10 from Strider. And then a series of numbers that I can't bother to say. I'm not too sure who the target market is. It's not aimed at children or adults. It would seem like it's only aimed at really artsy film critics. There isn't a single laugh in the whole movie. I'm really not sure what's happening with Disney, but there seems to be at least one death in every movie. My daughter wants movies to laugh at, not ones that attempt to answer the meaning of life.
Interesting. I think it's important for... I mean, obviously, I can't tell someone how to... raise their children at all, of course, but I think like it is important for children to watch these Pixar movies, and because of that reason that they do get quite dark, they do deal with quite adult themes. I think it's quite important, in my opinion, for children to sort of, well, younger children to be exposed to the fact that, you know, the world isn't all sunshine and rainbows, because I think sometimes you know, you come to the real world when you get older and you're like, hold on a minute, I thought everything was great, you know, and then you're stuck on your own, you have to figure it out, you know. Well, I think it's important to show, you know, people movies like that when they're young that show that there's danger out there, and it gets them used to becoming more comfortable, I feel like, with danger and fear and those existential questions that, you know, your parents can't answer. Like, I think Soul's a good movie to sort of show a your kid when they're like, oh, why are we here? Why is it? You could almost be like, yeah, just watch this movie. This is what happens, I guess.
Films are not education replacement, Charlie. I know that's how you were brought up, but it's not how everyone is.
No, I'm joking.
You are the cable guy in waiting.
No, I don't mean it that way. I mean it just in sense of like, you know, I just think it's important to just expose children to like more adult themes, yeah. Like are in the Pixar movies. I think they've got a good balance of like, you know, it's a kid's movie, but you know, we're still going to dark places and asking deeper questions, and there's stuff for the kids and there's stuff for the adults. This guy doesn't necessarily believe there's that. I found it quite fun. I found Graham Norton's character hilarious. This kind of like hippie, like psychedelic kind of guy. That was funny.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what you're saying. I know that we've had this in the past with other kid movies where it's like there is a sense of danger and a threat, and some parents are like, but why would you put this? It's a kid's movie. It should be colourful and bright and a laugh a minute. But if all films were like that, we'd have a buttload of what Despicable Me is. But even Despicable Me has adoption and loss and this stuff. So even that is tackling quite, like, if you look into it, heavy themes. It's just this, I can understand to a point, because there isn't a lot, what am I trying to say? It isn't a laugh a minute. I can understand that. There were a couple of chuckles here and there. And so I can understand why a parent, this is a parent, it talks about my daughter. If this was one of those situations where a parent watches the film first and then is going to show it to the kid, I can understand why they'd watch the film and go, okay, maybe my kid wouldn't enjoy it. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't stop your kid from experiencing it if the kid wants to watch it.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I agree. I totally agree with that, really, Luke. I think there's not much we can really say about that review. I think we pretty much got that one down. I really like this movie. I quite like the fact that it was, I don't know, I find it really wholesome and it really made me smile, like, quite a lot. So I think, like, particularly the barbershop scene. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I feel like that was, that was really cool how he was kind of, you know, how he kind of figures out that he's not really ever spoken to his barber that much and gotten to know him. And I always like that trope of, like, characters. It's a bit Christmas Carol-y in a way, and I think that's why I found it quite a good Christmas movie to watch on the day, do you know what I mean? Because it's that whole thing of, like, being shown what you should have been doing, you know, and living your life rather than worried about your purpose and higher things and stressing out and not living because you're so focused on this thing, instead to sometimes, you know, look around and see what you do have, sort of thing. And I really like that. And, you know, that's as old as all the Christmas carols go. It felt really Christmassy to me, actually. It was nice. But yeah, I think I'm ready for the next review, though.
You ready for this next review?
Mm.
You won't be when I start it. So this is a one-star review from Susie.
Okay, Susie.
Not to be a hater, because I really wanted to like this movie, but why is it every time animated films feature black folk as main characters, something traumatic is happening, or they're not fucking human for more than half of the film? But the last 2 minutes were good. The idea that every moment of life doesn't have to be purpose-filled and spectacular, that you can simply just live and that be enough. So there was, like, the argument and then the reason. It still gets some points and it's not a half-star review. But yeah, I did notice that in the film. It is an unfortunate trope that many people have picked up, that I know Princess and the Frog and this one are two of the big culprits that are in the main light. Yeah, I don't know why that is. And it did upset me that he was a cat for a majority of the film. Also, that a white woman was in a black man's body for the majority of the film. That was also a bit questionable, but hey.
Oh, right, yeah, because I guess the voice actress, is... Mm. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I it's funny. I did actually think about that. I did think, it's interesting that he's in this movie quite a lot as a cat. But yeah, what was the, there was something else that was said, just after the thing about the cat.
So the main bit is, why is it every time animated films feature black folk as main characters, something traumatic is happening, or they're not fucking humans
I mean, I
for
think,
the majority of the film?
yeah, I mean, I can't really argue with the first point, I feel like, but the second point, I feel like the traumatic thing. I mean, I think that's kind of what Pixar do. Is, you know, stories, the best stories are when, you know, the conflict is high, the stakes are high. And I think Toy Story, Pixar are really good at, I mean, Toy Story is a good example. Yeah, it's good at sort of putting these characters in, you know, high stakes. Finding Nemo is a perfect example of that. You know, is it Marley? Is it Marley? Is that that fish name, I want to say?
I believe
Yeah,
so, yeah.
he's so obsessed with, you know, sort of keeping Nemo safe that he actually ends up pushing him away, and Nemo has to, he then has to go and try and find Nemo whilst he's in the biggest amount of danger in the scarier place than Earth, which is the ocean, where anything could be going on. And I think that's cool, and it does a really good job of, and Nemo does a really good job of making you feel like this ocean is so big, how am I ever going to find him? And it's pretty traumatic, I think. Even especially the scene at the start when the, you know, when the rest of his children are like eaten and stuff, rest of the, and it's just him left, and the mum's eaten, and they all come from trauma, most of them, most of the Disney Pixar films and stuff. I guess it's them trying to teach children, I feel like, that these things are okay and that they happen and how to deal with them, I feel like. Well, I like to think that's their purpose.
Yeah, I was basically just going to say what you summed it up before I could, and that almost to their benefit, and I don't want to generalize and come off bad, but Pixar doesn't care about race when they're dealing with trauma. Everyone gets trauma.
Everyone does it. Yeah, it's true.
It doesn't matter if you're white, black, or a fish, you're getting trauma.
It's true. And they're trying to make it, I feel like they're trying to do, they've gone a bit more existential, I feel like, the Pixar movies. Like things like Onward. Onward is also another 2020 Pixar movie. Am I right? Yeah, it's true.
Yes, that was at the beginning.
Yeah. And it's another one that deals with loss and father figures and kind of the existential thing of like, what does death mean and stuff. So I think it's interesting that they chose these two movies this year to be the ones that they released, as opposed to something like Nemo and Toy Story that are less like questioning their existence. Whereas I feel like Onward and Soul were a bit more. I could be. Would you agree with
No,
that?
no.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I generally hadn't thought about that aspect, that these are the two films that they've chosen or not chosen, but like these are the two Pixar movies of 2020.
Yeah.
Is Onward, which was a D&D-esque adventure where they're trying to reconnect with their father, and then at the end, spoilers, but he realizes that it was his brother that was there for him. For him this entire time, and it was the memory of his dad that it was latched onto, so it didn't matter if he saw him. And it was a nice, and so that thing, and then this one, which is weirder. It is like, this one is strange, and it is existential. It is very, you're 20, 18, 20, you're like finishing uni and you're hit with existential dread. I think this is like, to go back to Schrader's review, that's probably the, it's like old teens, they're the ones that are going to get the most out of this film. Because it's like, oh, I just got knocked back from my first job, because all jobs want experience, but then you need the job to get experience, but then they expect you to have spirit, and it's that loop, and so you fall into that tumble and end up teaching, because as they say, those that don't do teach,
Yeah.
which is a lie, and anyone that says that is just a meanie.
Yeah. It's true.
Teachers are the best.
It's
But
true.
yeah, it is
So
weird that
true.
these are the two films that they've released this year, and maybe they could have picked a nicer one, but that depends on your feelings towards both films,
Yeah,
is what
no,
I see.
I actually really quite liked both of them. Particularly this. I really loved this. I thought the pacing was fantastic. It kind of finished before I was like, oh, I could have done with it being almost a bit longer. Like, I really enjoyed the characters and the world, and I really liked the designs of the Terrys and the Jerrys. The way they kind of looked like this sort of Picasso painting, didn't they? Almost.
Yeah, I really liked that.
No, they were really cool. I also think this is one of the best Pixar movies I've seen in a long time. If I'm honest with you, I think I feel quite strongly about this. I feel like,
how long ago is long time?
No, maybe not a long time. I think Inside Out's good, but I don't know. I think I might prefer this Inside Out. I'm not sure. I need to sit and think about it. But all I know is that my reaction to watching Soul after watching it was a lot more of an attachment, if that makes sense, than I did with Onward, which I loved and actually got teary-eyed watching. Mm. I think there was maybe something that more spoke to me with this one. And I think you're right. It's interesting that you said that, because I think now I think about it, I guess it's not about... It's not really for kids of a young age. You're right. It does kind of feel like a kids that have more tried to do something creative in their work life and had a, you know, a knockback sort of thing. It kind of feels more in that sense. Or people trying to figure out what they want to do for a living sort of thing.
Well, to go off that tangent that you just said, the best line in the film, hands down, is, oh, don't worry, you can't get crushed here. That's what happens on Earth. Is your soul gets crushed on Earth.
Yeah.
And that mindset is such a, like, young adult, the world is against me mindset, which continues until your late 30s and onwards, because the world is awful. Hopefully not. I really hope it isn't. I hope you're doing good. Are you well? Are you happy? Contact some friends. This is a trying time.
No, it's true.
Just covering my bases. Would you like another review?
I would like another review, yeah.
Would you like a review from Bonnie? A half star review? No, a one star review.
A one star review from Bonnie.
A lovely, lovely one star review from Bonnie.
All right, Bonnie, come at me with this review.
Did we watch the same movie? This was just a ripoff of Coco, a musician whose family...
Oh, yeah, I did like Coco, actually.
A musician whose family is disapproving of his aspirations finally gets his big break before being sucked into the underworld, where he meets a friend who doesn't want to move on to the next stage of the underworld and has to go back to the real world before he's stuck there forever. Sorry, but I just didn't like it. I only watched this movie because Coco was so good, but I should have known that it was a fluke. Other than Coco, Pixar hasn't made an outright good movie since Wall-E. They've gotten close with Up and Toy Story 3, but they haven't quite gotten to good. That's just how Pixar is nowadays. They make just enough good movies to hook you in, but not enough to offset the sheer amount of crap. The Good Dinosaur might be the worst animated movie I've ever seen. So they, Bonnie slipped in a lovely little dig about The Good Dinosaur at the end. Did you catch that one? It was very
Poor Good
slight,
Dinosaur.
The general consensus of Bonnie's review is we've seen it before, but better, and Pixar hasn't released anything good since Wall-E.
That's kind of interesting that what I said a minute ago kind of segued
you
into
did.
That. I don't think they're necessarily major. Now I'm thinking about it, because I did actually like Coco. I think Coco was actually quite good. But I see where that she draws the parallels between this and Coco. But I think their themes are different. Like, this is more about, not just about finding your purpose and who you are, but also about the fact that, you know, it's not really about that. It's about just living, like, and having a good time whilst you have your time on this planet, and sort of not worrying about a higher purpose, you know what I mean? It's all just, you know, enjoy doing it. If you love to do it rather than, you know, otherwise you're stopping yourself from living, sort of thing, like worrying about too much. Whereas I feel like Coco is more about, like, him trying to find his purpose and, you know, about his family and Do you know what I mean?
It was, Coco.
I know I said it about purpose, but, like, it does feel different Do you know what I'm saying? Like, although it goes, it does feel different enough where it doesn't, for me personally, it didn't feel like much of a rip-off. Like, it had similar ideas and stuff. But I think if you go back to Pixar movies in general, you could probably find a similar link in the, in the chain. But I guess that's just like, you know, what you expect from that brand, isn't it? Like, you almost expect like the similar way you expect like the MCU to, or they all look very visually similar, don't they? In that sort of way, in a way you sort of expect that, or expect a Wes Anderson movie to look a certain way. It's kind of like what you expect from Pixar. Do you think that's a fair point?
Do you know what I mean?
If you look back, you could find themes in all of them. I do think it's a fair point, though, to point out that it's got similar plot ideas. But they do feel like completely different movies. I actually didn't even think about that until this was brought up.
Just this second.
Yeah, right literally. Now. I didn't think about it. But yeah, I feel like they're different enough to me. I still see them as completely separate things. Yes, they have music, and yes, they have a passion, and following your craft and stuff. But yeah, I don't know. Do you have anything to say about that, of that review as well, Luke?
Yeah, I feel like you were pretty on the ball, because as you kind of said in a roundabout way, Coco is about finding your purpose. Well, it's not even, it's about family and remembering and trying to like follow in the footsteps and inspiration. It is that sort of remember where you come from, but also do your own thing, whilst this is do your own thing. So it's different. But then it is the whole, like, the bit that got me was when Joe asks one of the Jerrys about what was the spark, what was the thing that gave 22 the pass, and he like lists off a load of like actual physical things like playing music or walking or looking at the sky, and Jerry goes, oh, you inspire, you I can't remember, mentors, you're always so like small-minded, because it's not about that one like specific thing to do. It's just you're ready to go out and experience the world, and it is like, hey, life, it has its good moments, like the film, it has some good moments.
Yeah, definitely. And so, also kind of like, not, you know, it doesn't have to be necessarily one thing that's your purpose, like just because this thing is your passion doesn't mean that it's like the one thing you do. Like, you could enjoy other things, and like, I like that it was, you know, it was, you know, you can have other passions. It doesn't mean that that's necessarily your purpose. It's more just like, do you like it enough to do that for the rest of your life? Do you know what I mean? And do
It's not even that, because so when they go into the Hall of Everything, if I'm remembering correctly, they see a archer hit a bullseye, he gets his pass and he's ready to go to Earth. But then Joe kicks a ball and it hits one of the other souls in the back of the head, and that triggers the soul to be ready to go back to Earth.
Oh yeah.
So it's
just love getting smacked in the back of the head by bulls.
That person's gonna be a masochist.
Yeah.
So it's weird, because they do kind of frame it around this idea of you need to find your spark, your inspiration, the thing that makes you ready to live and to go down on Earth. But it's not a specific thing. It's just, hey, you're ready. That's it. You're ready now.
Yeah.
You've experienced all you need to experience to face the world. Now you're Earth's problem.
Yeah.
Which I did love when they're doing the tutorial, and it's one soul. It's like, I have this toxic character trait, and I have this toxic character trait, and this toxic character trait. And the Jerry is just like, well, you're going to be a right little handful, but that's Earth's problem.
No, that was funny. Yeah, I got like Richard Iode doing the voices for as well. Like, he's good at doing those kind of robotic kind of alien creature. But like, he does it in The Mandalorian as well, doesn't he? He's got a
He's the big robot.
Big robot and stuff. And I'm just so used to that. Like, you almost think about a robot's voice having his voice almost, like, because he's done so many of those type of roles. He knows that as well. I think that's what makes it good. He's great.
He's properly worked out his on-screen persona, but then I don't know if it's like, either that's his persona and he's completely different in real life and he's tricking us all, which is completely believable, or that's how he is, which is also completely believable.
Yeah.
But every time I hear his voice now, I will always think of IT Moss. Like the IT Crowd?
Yes, like, yeah. Of course,
that
yeah.
That was his big thing, and he's so good. He's so good. Everything he's done, he touches it and turns into gold. It's great.
I didn't actually watch much of that, actually, to be fair. But I should have. I know, yeah. And I've heard it's good. I've watched like little bits and bobs.
Netflix?
Yeah. Maybe I should get on it.
Watch it. Get on it. It's great.
I was just going to quickly talk about like the cast, actually, because I think the cast is actually quite spectacular. You got Jamie Foxx, who I think is great. I think he's brilliant in the role. Tina Fey. I really like it when, even though these are really big actors, you can't tell. Like, you're not necessarily thinking, oh, it's Tina Fey, it's Jamie Foxx. Do you know what I mean? And they're quite big names. So I feel like, yeah, they've done a... I don't know if that was the movie or just their worst acting as well that just, you know, really played well with the character. I think Jamie Foxx is quite good at doing voices anyway. He does like impressions and stuff. So, because it didn't really sound like him too much, but he's good. And I think was great about the character that he plays is kind of I feel like everyone knows someone like him or is that person, you know, in one way or the other. Unlike most characters in, I see what that first review was saying in a sense, because I guess not most other Pixar movies are like based around sort of children, aren't they? Like Nemo is like a child. Twister is different because they're toys, aren't they? And like Onward, it's like teenagers and a young kid. Coco's a young kid. I think it's interesting that this is like about a guy.
A man.
Yeah, like a guy in like his later 8 years.
An unborn soul.
Yeah. So maybe that's where the disconnect was for that reviewer for his child. But I still think you can have, you know, it's still a fun story that kids can watch, even though, and I don't think, funny enough, I was actually talking to Matt from Full Throw Dios, who I live with, and he was, we were flatmates with, and he was saying whilst we were playing Disney's Gate Adventure, but I never really needed to have, like, there's like a child version of Tarzan and Simba and stuff in it, and we were like, why isn't it unlockable for like the adults and stuff? And I was like, oh, probably because it's aimed at kids. And then we were like, yeah, but that's weird, because like even when we were kids, we didn't really want to necessarily play as the kid characters. We wouldn't mind if they were adults either, we'd play as them, sort of thing. So it's weird. I think Disney kind of push that, don't they, that if they're children are more likely to watch it. I guess that probably is true. I don't feel like it wasn't necessarily the case for me when I was a kid. Would you agree with that?
I feel it might be a marketing as well. Because I don't know if I'm making this up, but I think I have memories of there being a Tarzan TV show.
Yes.
About Tarzan when he was a kid.
Yeah, there was,
And so that would have linked in, because we would have seen a lot more young Tarzan than movie old Tarzan. So, of course, that's why you'd get that. And then... I don't know, maybe young Simba sold better than old Simba. there's always something about the money. It's always about the money.
That is true. It's probably something to do with that, isn't it, really?
Yeah. Are you ready for the last review?
I'm ready.
So this is a negative review, shock horror, from Amelia.
It's the point of the show, Luke.
No, right? I started watching this movie, and it didn't sit right with my spirit. The movie paints lies about what happens when we die and our creation. The world needs to understand the reality of death. If we aren't covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, we will spend eternity separated from God. Growing up, I believed in reincarnation. These ideas are not something to be played with. If God didn't save me from those beliefs, I would not have eternal life in Jesus Christ.
Damn. I always find these reviews weird, because it's like, you can't expect everyone to believe the same thing as you, you know? I know that obviously that they believe that.
Oh, they
true.
Can. They can believe this.
I know, but it's just like it's like.
They've had wars. It's like, you got to make sure people believe that.
No, I mean, yeah, literally, like this, it's true. But I feel like, you know, you've got to be respectful of other people's beliefs and understand that, you know, no one's got a clue really what they're doing here. We're all trying to figure it out, and you know, there's some people deal with helps them in different ways. Does that make sense? That's some sort of. Their philosophies on life or on death and stuff is what helps them get up every day. This person has found, you know, Jesus, and that's why how they get up every day. And I feel like to say that is kind of also for them to knock like someone else's religion as well. Like that's how it kind of feels, doesn't it? Really, even though this isn't a religion, it's posing questions that are not what they believe, and their problem with the movie therefore is that, which I think is not a fair criticism of the movie. Do you know what I mean? I think you're putting your own I guess that is the point. It's opinion, isn't it? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That is true. But
I had to look through quite a few reviews to handpick some of the ones that I liked the best. And there is an argument to be made that this is more about spirituality than religion. It doesn't, like that big white orb that we see that they go, which is referred to as the Great Beyond. Like they don't say what that is. That could be the gateway to St. Peter. And then you get split into heaven or H-E double hockey sticks, which I loved that joke because he said it and then all of the little kids just immediately started saying hell. And I was like, yes, we all have always known what that spells, you foolish adults. And then also the spirits themselves, the pre-souls, they don't divulge how these souls have come into existence. It's just, hey, this is where souls go. Oh, and the souls themselves, they never say where the souls came from. It's just, here's where they go after they've been made. Because, of course, you've got the main character, 22, but then the other character, soul that is named is like 15,007,076,000, and that's one of Jerry's favorites. So it's spirituality more than religion, because it's not saying this religion or this religion isn't real. It's just saying, hey, this is a possibility.
Yes, exactly.
If that makes sense. Yeah,
I do think it's also silly because I think kids are aware that, you know, you can't necessarily, well, I don't know, actually, kids are aware that you can go to this other world and you can essentially die and then get a chance to come back again. I mean, you know what I mean? I think kids are aware that that's not, you know what I mean? So I think this person's worrying too much about their belief being
tainted. This specific one is very specified on Christianity, but then your point kind of links back to the first review, and it's like, who's this target audience? Because if it's a kid that has already got some understanding of life and death and spirituality, then how old is that kid? Because that kid's not going to be like 5 years old.
That is true.
Then
yeah,
I could put a kid in front of Toy Story or Finding Nemo or something, and they'd get enough enjoyment out of it from the bright colors. Whilst if you put them in front of this, they're going to see less enjoyment, I feel, potentially. I don't think a 5 year old would enjoy this as much as you did, for example.
Yeah, maybe. I remembered whilst we were doing the podcast that there was actually, I thought there was some funny bits because you were saying it wasn't that funny for kids and that. I thought it was quite funny, you know, when it was cut into 22, sort of trying to be mentored by all these like important figures, like really peaceful figures, and how they all got annoyed with her. Yeah, like seeing Muhammad Ali like throw his gloves down and Mother Teresa get angry. I thought that was a funny idea. Yeah, and I feel like it was just one of those things. It was almost too short to hate. Like it flew by. I got a good story told within an hour and 40 minutes, and I learned a lesson from it. I felt emotionally, you know, it got me in the feels. So I feel like all round, like I don't know how you can't have a fun time with this movie. I've literally been screaming at everyone to go watch it, because I think, yeah, I've been like, watch it, it's so much fun. Like, and also because there's nothing else out at the moment. So it's like, this is the only new movie you can watch, and it's a Pixar movie. And yeah, I thought, yeah, just I think it's a really fun movie. I think it's not the funniest Pixar movie, and I like the questions it poses. I think it's interesting. I think I like the aspect. I think it's an important thing, especially with young teenagers and that nowadays, when it comes to like burnout and stuff. I've read like it's a really big problem now, where more people are on their computers and more in social media and Instagram, and seeing that constantly comparing themselves to others who are doing well, and therefore feeling like they need to chase their goals and dreams, and are really like, you know, they have to knuckle down and get to that point. And I feel like this movie was kind of like, it's okay. Do you know what I mean? Like, you, it's kind of addressing that audience, the children that are growing up now, of like, they're getting so burnt out on this idea of like, they've got to be someone, they've got to do something, they've got to always be, have the big, nice cars, the big things, you know, and look pretty. And I think this film felt to me like it was answering those questions. Like, you know, it's not about that. It's just about living your life. Like, it doesn't really matter, like, what everyone else is doing, or what you think your higher purpose is. Like, strive towards what you love and do it, but don't make it your be all and end all. Like, there's more.
Yeah,
you just have to be open to it, really. Yeah. And I think I thought that was a great message. And I think it's really, for the generation that are coming, so maybe it might not be for the kids, but as they grow up and they watch this, hopefully this will speak to them more. Maybe, I don't know, this is just me speculating.
That's all we can do, really, isn't it?
Speculation.
But no, that's a really good point, and I feel like that's underlined, especially when they go into the it's like the Hall of You, or the, I think it's the Hall of You, where they go into the doctor's like life events, and it's all of these big successes, and then they press the button and it's Joe's life, and it all turns to shit because that's how he's viewed his life. It's like, immediately before he died, he was like, now my life's gonna start. But he's already been like, he's lived his life, he's gotten into jazz, he's had an unsuccessful career in jazz, he's become a part-time music band teacher. Is band just music in America? I feel like band is just music in America. It's very strange wording. But become this band teacher part-time, to the point where the school is now like, hey, become the permanent band teacher. So he must have been there for a while. So he's got to be in his 30s, let's say.
And yeah, I think like to... I think he's later than that. I think, because he's got a bit of a grey on his beard, isn't he?
True. But like, he's seeing his self as his life begins now at 35, which is perfectly acceptable. I mean, there are lots of success stories and big actors and big writers who get their start up very later in life.
Mm.
But it is, and as you said, it is social media. It is that for those younger audiences, and I am leaning towards this being for young adults more than kids, so like late teens to young adults, they're growing up with instant famous Instagram and YouTube stars who do play games for several hours a day and are making millions.
Yeah.
And then they go to their job at Tesco and they're earning £10 an hour, which is an honest work, honest day's living for an honest day's pay, but it's not as fulfilling as they had hoped. However, I do also like when he does the first gig, and Dorothy says the story about the fish.
Oh yes, yeah.
And it's that, for those who have gotten this far and not watched the film, it's a little fish goes up to an older fish and says, hey, I'm looking for the ocean. The older fish goes, hey, you're in the ocean. And the little fish is like, no, we're in water. I'm looking for the ocean.
Hmm.
And in my head, that could easily be swapped with a youngster goes up to an older person and goes, hey, I'm looking for success. And it's like, hey, you've got success. And the kid's like, no, this is fame. I wanted success. And it's like,
yeah,
because that's what it is in this, it's in this viral society that we have. You can physically get your 15 minutes of fame because somebody left a note on your car and you tweeted about it and it blew up and you're on the news and then that's it.
Yeah, I do feel like it's kind of that quote is kind of like you know focus on what you want to do, but don't be, you know, not
single-minded,
not, yeah, like don't miss what is around you, what you already have. It's kind of like I think it's Marcus Aurelius, the philosopher, who said that you don't own tomorrow and you don't own yesterday, all you have is today, so, you know, live today sort of thing. And I feel like that is kind of the message of the movie, isn't it, really? It's kind of, you know, stop worrying about what's going to happen, you know, work on what you want to work on and study what you want to study and do it, but just don't make sure sometimes you look around and smell the roses, I guess, sort of thing.
From another big scholar, yesterday's history, tomorrow's a mystery, and today is a gift, and that's why it's called the present. And that's from Kung Fu Panda.
Fantastic, great movie. Brilliant. I think that's a great way to finish the review, actually.
Yeah, well, is that your review? Because I haven't actually given my review, my feelings.
Oh, not review, I mean, sorry, that last review.
Yes, perfect. Would you like to express yourself some more on how much you love this film, unless this entire thing was an amazing disguise and you actually despise the movie?
Yeah.
Do you actually despise it?
No, I loved it. No, I really did. I feel like I've sort of given my best points for why I love it already, but yeah, I think it's a really fun movie. I think it's hit questions that, or hit themes that sit close to me. I understood important things to remind myself, even, because I think it's easy to get caught up when you have things you want to do, like, you know, we do this podcast, we want to be successful, we want, you know, I try to make movies on the side and stuff. In my own time, and it kind of hit me in that sense of, like, you know, it's good that you're doing all these things, you're keeping busy and you're pushing towards your good goals and your dreams, but just to make sure that you are looking around and enjoying yourself. And I don't know, I don't know about you, but when you watch a film like that, it does make you more conscious of it and thinks, yeah, I should, maybe today I will go for a walk instead of sitting and watching the fifth movie of the day or whatever, even though I haven't been watching that many films recently. But yeah, it just really hit me in that sense, and kind of like, you know, everything's going to be okay. Like, you know, you're doing it. There was a sense I got that it was like, oh, he's making jazz, and he's not this big musician, but he's making jazz. Surely the thing that you love anyway is to make jazz. You don't necessarily need all these other things, really, because the act of actually doing it should almost be enough. And I think that's something I want to try and take in more of, like, okay, I'm doing what I love, I shouldn't be constantly wanting, because you're always going to want more, otherwise there's never a, I mean, obviously always want more, always strive for more, but you know what I'm saying, in terms of, like, be happy, be grateful for what you do have already, and to make sure to remind yourself what you do have. And I just, yeah, I really like that. I'm sorry if I went a bit sentimental at the end, but I just thought it was a really lovely movie. Great, I think Pixar smashed out of the pot this one. Yeah, I think it was also a great movie with a black lead as well, which I thought was which was brilliant. So especially for Pixar, I don't think is this Pixar's first?
I believe so.
So this is a big deal. And yeah, I thought it was brilliant. From the cast, the script, the pacing, the animation blew me away. Like, I thought it was stunning to look at. Like, you could really see the textures on his like jumper and on his face, and I just the jump. I remember when I went to see Incredibles 2, and then I went back and watched Incredibles 1. I remember being like, oh my god, I remember Incredibles 1 looked amazing, and now it looks like a PS2 game. Do you know what I mean? And like, now I was looking at Toy Story 4 and looking at Soul, and I was like, this is incredible. It's getting almost like They're almost there in the room, almost real, these weirdly shaped humans. But yeah, and overall, I really loved it. How about yourself, Luke?
Well, before I begin, I hope that I've played my part and you've been able to bounce off me a bit more than
last
week. I know. But the truth of the matter is, I didn't love this movie.
Oh, really? Damn.
I liked this movie. Still hasn't. So, at time of recording, I watched it yesterday, and I got to watch it twice. I watched it, the first time I was in a little bit of a rush, and the second time I tried to absorb it better, but it was a bit later in the evening, so that was a factor. So I agree with a lot of your points, and it's one of those, the animation's amazing, the voice acting's amazing. I think it's the story, and some of the negative reviews kind of hit on it, and the fact that I've seen... So this is, for me, it's kind of like a mix between Inside Out and Coco and another film that I'm now drawing a blank on. But it's not as... Oh, Ratatouille. It's Coco, Ratatouille, and Inside Out. And it's like a mix of those three, but it's not as good as any of them, in my opinion. Like, okay. I love Coco. I feel I connected stronger to Inside Out. And Ratatouille is kind of that animal sidekick that's helping the human establish themselves in life. And it's unfortunate. And to some degree, I kind of wish that this... So when we first saw it announced and it was the jazz music in the title, and we were like, oh, it's going to be about music and it's going to be about black people and the soul of jazz. And it's one of those that anyone can argue that they wish for something that didn't happen. But I kind of do wish it had been more about that aspect. And also the fact that I preferred it when they were in the real world to their fictional spiritual world is a big red flag to me. Because if your imaginary world is less interesting to the viewer than your real world setting, bad. Mm.
That's an interesting point, actually. I kind of get what you're saying. Although I did like the whole aspect of the lost souls and the ones that, like, you know, the ones that were like sad. Yeah. I thought all that stuff was really cool. I like that. I found that really inventive. But I do kind of know what you mean in terms of, like, you wanted to go back to Earth. I guess it's because there's more things to look at, and like that was where the real sort of plot was happening, wasn't it? Where the most exciting stuff was kind of happening.
Yeah.
So I don't understand that. And also,
the whole 22 in Joe's body, I get it from like a story perspective, and like it works for what it is, but I didn't want it. Maybe if 22 would have been the cat and it was about getting 22 back to where, but then it wouldn't have been as big of a stress for Joe, and so it wouldn't have been as good. And so it's this, like, I can't even begin to imagine how one could change it for me to enjoy it better, because that would be fixing, and you can't fix it. It's a good film, as I've said, it is a good film. It's in our black and white yes or no, awesome or awful, it's awesome. It's just as soon as you start adding more numbers to that second number, it, like, out of three, it becomes like a 2.5 out of 3. Out of four, it becomes a 3 out of 4. And so it's like it's not quite greatness. I like it. It's hard to say. And as you said, it might be that after a while I enjoy it better later on, and after I've processed it a bit more. But right now, it's just kind of, it doesn't sit well in my soul.
Fair enough. I mean, for me, it just personally, the theme hit me more than some of the themes in the other movies you might have listed. So I guess that is more of a personal thing. But I do understand, I think the points you made were more... I do understand that perspective, actually. I just feel like... I guess I just enjoyed those aspects. you didn't.
But that's good, because we're two different people. I'm glad you liked
it, though. It's true. I'm glad you liked it, though. I loved it because of the fact that I just think that it was a quite deep movie, considering the fact that, I guess, the I guess the problems the first reviewer had are kind of the reasons I like it.
This is the thought-provoking one. It's less in your face and more vague, which is plus and negative, because that might be as well why I don't, because it is very vague and it's very, hey, you just take this and think about it, rather than, hey, this is what we're trying to say, think on this thing that we're trying to say. It's like, hey, here are some things, dwell on it, see how you feel.
I'm enjoying you moving around with a glass in your hand as well.
I'm an alcoholic.
Here's how you feel.
See how you feel. Give it a try.
Brilliant. I do also like that we've got this like space like thing going on today. Like, you've got,
yeah,
like, Space Invaders.
Space Invaders,
I've got this
and NASA.
NASA thing. Yeah, that wasn't planned.
Accidentally. Yeah.
I feel like we should have done a sci-fi movie now.
Yeah. Well, there were sci-fi elements. The bit where he tears through the conveyor belt to the great beyond, and he falls down. It like goes all those. It's like black and white. And it's like flashy, and it like goes. That's where they should have put the opening credits. That felt like such a James Bond-esque title sequence where I would have just accepted it and been like, "Yeah, no, this is cool." Like, it was cool on its own, but they could have utilized it.
that's a good point, actually.
But yeah, that's the end, I guess. That's all of the reviews I got. I feel like we adequately defended it before I was like, it's not a hill I'll die on.
No, it was like, no, it was good. I feel like we had a good discussion about it. It wasn't, it didn't get too heated at all, which was good. There were some decent reviews.
It's always good when they're decent reviews, isn't it?
Yeah, no, they were decent reviews. Yeah, no, to be fair, I actually did like, I think they made some fair points today as well. And the first one was quite funny, even though it was a bit of a dad joke.
It's perfect. It's one of the, I really wanted a funny one at the beginning, and all of them were just
very hard
hitting. Yeah. It's either, hey, racism, or hey, spiritualism. And I was like, we're too. Why atheists? Are you atheist? I don't even know. Is that problematic to ask? I don't feel that's problematic to ask. Are you atheist? Do you believe in God or a God or multiple gods?
I guess I'm agnostic, really. I can never really truly say. So I guess, yeah. So
I
can never.
That's the one I meant.
Yeah, where you're like, I can't really be sure either end. Don't really know, do I? Yeah. So
that is
so
true.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, two white agnostics talking about a film about spirituality with a main character who's a black man. Yeah. But no, as I think we've both said, it is a very good film. And everyone should give it a watch. Maybe
Definitely.
Not on Christmas Day, but a watch. A watch indeed.
Yeah, don't wait to next Christmas. watch it now. It's good.
Watch it right now. Don't watch it right now if you're in a car, though. You could be in a car. I never actually think about that when, like, where people are digesting our content.
Oh, that's the podcast. That is true. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, on YouTube as well, you've got mobiles have data. Like, they could be watching this on the train into work. Who knows? The possibilities are endless within reason. I don't think anybody on, like, a space station is watching this.
That would be cool, though.
That would be cool. Amazing.
Then our t-shirts or our tops will be cool.
There we go. We made it relevant.
If you are in space and you listen to this, please let me know. That'd be fantastic. yeah.
Anyway, shall we do the
plugs? Yeah, you can. Should we plug the socials?
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. So, guys, you can find us on Twitter, where you can talk to us personally at FAV. Film is awful.
Yep.
Fav Film is awful. Or you can find us on Instagram, Your Favorite Film is Awful. Or Facebook, Your Favorite Film is Awful. And also, I mean, YouTube, Your Favorite Film is Awful, if you're watching the video or listen to the podcast. Yeah, we're on there now. And wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. It's been great.
It's been a good one.
2021 hasn't killed me yet. So let us continue in that strafe. And hopefully there'll be another video next week. Bye-bye.
That's
Thank you for watching and listening.
See you later. Thank you.
And being here. Bye-bye.